ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
As you've been hearing this morning, and over many days, and over many weeks, and over many months, Australia is in the grip of a national crisis of violence against women. In the first 121 days of the year, at least 28 women have been killed. That's one woman every 4 days. Today, the National Cabinet will meet to come up with immediate solutions. The Deputy Opposition Leader is Susan Lee, and she joins us this morning. Susan Lee, welcome.
Good morning, Patricia.
Do you agree that investment in this area has to be massively increased today?
Yes, I do. And I also know that because there is never enough funding, two things are important. Governments need to keep the promises that they've already made, and they need to make sure that the funding that is out there goes to where it's needed. And when we talk about promises already made, Patricia, I may have mentioned on your program before the promise by this government to deliver 500 frontline domestic violence and community workers to support women in crisis. They made that 2 years ago. There are just 17 of the 500, well, there were in March when I last asked the question. These are people who work directly with both victim survivors and those who are fleeing domestic violence at the most critical time in their life. When it comes to their safety, these women, usually women, are a lifeline. They're the difference between life and death. I've spoken to services all over this country and they're just not there. And I'm, you know, incredibly disappointed. So when I'm asked what I want to see out of National Cabinet today, I want to see many things, but I want to see that top of the list.
There are several key measures that will be discussed in the National Cabinet today. Do you think perpetrators of domestic violence should be tracked and monitored?
When necessary, yes. And if you look at individual examples, and I'm not going to mention them, but there are often cases where if the individual, the perpetrator, had been able to be tracked, if what the police wanted, which was monitoring, was in place, and the courts had not either refused that or overturned it, then perhaps some of these women would not have been murdered by men. And we just can't overstate enough the importance of reform in this area. And I know that the states will be interested in exactly that. Because every woman's family, every woman's community, they know what could have been done to protect their loved ones. They don't need they don't need experts, they don't need inquiries. They actually know. I stood with women in regional Victoria in Cobram on Sunday, and the pain is particularly severe in regional areas because they just aren't the frontline services. They just aren't the places to go for help. Some of these towns don't have police 24/7. Some of these towns, it is so challenging to live your life as a woman who is in a situation like this because it's so hard to identify yourself in a community that unfortunately has made judgments about you in the past. You know, you see how visible this is in particularly our rural areas. So look, Patricia, I'm just sick of men. I'm sick of Mark Dreyfus. I'm sick of Anthony Albanese. I'm sick of their talking, their rhetoric. I want them to stand up today and I want them to announce action to stop the killings. I'm so sick of the platitudes.
I think a lot of people are sick of the platitudes. You've just identified, you know, Labor men in government, but of course violence against women hasn't just suddenly happened. It also was happening at high and alarming rates under your government. Are you also sick of the men in your front bench?
I'm sick of all men who don't understand this problem. And I'm not going to point the finger and I'm not going to be political, particularly on an issue like this. But this is the overwhelming response from women. We're always, they say to me, the ones who are being asked to change our behaviour. We're always the ones who are being asked to do something differently because we are at risk. In fact, it's the men who need to do something differently. Now, this domestic violence has grown, as you've identified, to become a national cancer. It's malignant. It continues to grow. We're the best country on the planet, but gosh, we have to look in the mirror when half the population is saying that their country is beginning to feel unsafe. So all governments have to work to fix this.
You've cited violent pornography as an underlying cause of the issue. That's not just you that said that. The government has also said that. But at the same time, and it's a different issue, but it's really overlapping, issues in terms of regulating the internet. And that's the dispute with X at the moment playing out in the courts. How do you regulate it?
Well, you start with age verification, and the government has not agreed to do that. We have supported it, we have pushed for it, and we're still doing that. Because how can it be right for young people, some under 10 years old, as I heard last night in Western Australia, who are able to see excruciatingly awful graphic content? And yes, Patricia, you would have had people on the program, I've heard them, who've talked about that link between building empathy in young men and violent pornography. Because what is missing in so many of these cases is empathy between men and women. And that's complex, it's long-term, it's related to upbringing and so many other things. But there is so much evidence now that violent pornography is causing abuse, sexual abuse, and that leads to further harm and further risk. So, it was March this year, the Safety Commissioner recommended that we carry out a trial of age assurance technologies to prevent children from accessing pornography. So National Cabinet has got the opportunity to take that action today. Anthony Albanese can come out with the premiers and announce that we'll get moving on age verification.
Let's turn to the issue of immigration detainees. The image of Nanette Simons' bloodied and bruised face released by Western Australian police has, of course, shocked many people. She was violently attacked in a home invasion by what has been revealed to be one of the detainees released in that High Court decision. There has been a response to this. The government says ultimately, though, it is state police forces that kind of are managing these issues on the ground. Do you accept that?
No, I don't. And I think the Albanese Labor government has to explain to the people of Australia, particularly the people of Perth, I'm in WA at the moment, why a woman fighting cancer has been allegedly brutally bashed by an individual who, it appears, even after the High Court released them, could have been put away. So we need answers to the following questions. Why didn't the Commonwealth oppose bail when this detainee appeared in court in February when he was charged with failing to comply with his monitoring conditions? There was a preventative detention order that could have been made. Why wasn't that made? Was he wearing an ankle bracelet at the time he committed the alleged offence? What other monitoring conditions were placed on the detainee? These are all questions that are post the release from the High Court. Now, Immigration Minister Andrew Giles and Home Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill, they must front up and explain how the system they put in place to protect Australian people failed this woman. And I briefly heard Claire O'Neill this morning, and all I heard was more excuses. She did not actually address the issue of this individual and his alleged brutal offences. Nowhere to be seen. It's incredulous. I mean, a cancer survivor, a Perth grandmother, bashed in their home. And, you know, the rest of the country moves on to the news the next day. But just think about the effect this has on this vulnerable couple, frightened in their own homes, possibly for the rest of their lives. It is just dreadful. And, you know, I'm loath to call for ministerial resignations. I've been in politics a long time. It's not something I do lightly. But when this happens, honestly, what other course of action is that? They should either go or they should be sacked.
Just finally, and on an issue of another woman who we now know, according to Justice Lee, has gone through rape in Parliament House, and that's Brittany Higgins. Would you like to see Senator Reynolds settle her litigation against Brittany Higgins, who is, of course, now by this court been determined a rape victim?
Look, I won't comment. It could be subject to further court action, and I certainly won't comment about litigation between two parties.
No, Patricia, but would you like to see her be able to move on and heal?
I'm just not going to comment on that.
Susan Lee, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Deputy Opposition Leader Susan Lee. You're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.